Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Out.
many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
We want them to be themselves. And I told them, be yourselves and say what you want to say.
So when people try to figure out how to make $1 million, they have no idea how daunting that is. Because if you know how to make $1 million, you're going to make it tomorrow. But since you can't figure out how to $1 million idea, you go somewhere and sit down. That's the wrong approach. If you apply your gift, your God-given gift that he gave you, you have millions already at your disposal. If you break it down inch by inch into things of sense for the 10 by 10 theory, which is very simple. You don't need $1 million idea. You need a $10 idea. You need something that you do, your gift that God gave you, to make $10. That's all you got to be able to know. I don't care if it's cutting hair, cutting somebody's grass, washing somebody's car. I don't care if it's mowing somebody's lawn. I don't care if it's driving people to their destinations. I don't care if it's babysitting. I don't care if it's baking cookies or pie. You have some braiding somebody's hair. You have something that you can do so well that someone will give you $10 for it. Write my paper for me. Do this for me. Somebody give you $10 for it. Once they give you $10, all you got to do is whatever you did to get that 10, do it 10 more times. You now, my friend, have $100. You have $100 simply because you took a $10 idea and you did it 10 times. Well, guess what? If you take that $100 that you made since you done it 10 times and you do it 10 more times, I got news for you, my friend. You now have $1,000. $1,000, you make $1,000, guess what all you got to do? You got to multiply that effort again. Do whatever you did to do $1,000, do it 10 more times. My friend, you now have $10,000. You got $10,000 now. Imagine if you was making an extra $10,000 a month. Just imagine if you was making an extra $10,000 a month. That's $120,000 a year. But I got news for you, my friend. Whatever you did, whatever it took to make yourself $10,000, all you got to do is do it 10 more times. 10 more times, my friend, you now have $100,000. I got news for you now. If you can make $100,000, you're just a step away from being a millionaire, man. Because now you hire a few more people to help you out that you can do portions of what you do so you can duplicate that effort. And one more time, just one more time, do it 10 times. Man, that sounds hard. It is hard. But what else you got to do? What, you going to stop at the 100,000? All you got to do is duplicate your efforts by 10. You duplicate your efforts by 10 times 100,000. Welcome to the club, my friends. You are now a millionaire. Congratulations. You became a millionaire with a $10 idea. So stop bogging yourself down trying to figure out how to make a million. Do what you can do to make $10. And then do the 10 by 10 theory. Inch by inch, anything's a cinch. Now here's the joyful part. Along the way, when you was down here making $20,000, but you did right here, and now all of a sudden you're making $30,000. Now you're making $100,000. But on the way to duplicating that times 10, you may stop along in here at $250,000. You can make it $250,000 a year. That's way better than that $20,000 you had when you started. So there's joy in the process. Your life is actually a lot richer at $250,000. It'll become even more richer at $500,000. It becomes even richer than that at $750,000, $750,000. If you don't get to the million, man, you're going to trip because you're making $900,000 a year? No, you're going to be happy. What, you don't make the million, so you only make $700,000 a year? You can't find happiness in $7,000? Something wrong with you, man. There's joy in the process. That's how you make $1,000,000.
All right, it's trending topics today on It's My House. So anything you guys want to talk about. Now, what's trending, I don't know if you guys want to talk about it or not, but it's been popped up on my phone at least 3 or 4 times this morning. Roe v. Wade, and let me read, CNN says, Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. New York Times says Supreme Court over, same title. Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. And CNBC, Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, ending 50 years of federal abortion rights. Let's see. Let's go into that one. That seems a little bit more interesting. All right, Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, ending 50 years of federal abortion rights. The Supreme Court, in a 6-3 decision, overturned Roe v. Wade, the landmark ruling established the constitutional right to abortion. Roe, since 1973, has permitted abortions during the first trimesters of pregnancy in the United States. Almost half the states are expected to outlaw or severely restrict abortion as a result of the Supreme Court's decision on a Mississippi case known as Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization. Justice Samuel Alito wrote the majority opinion. The courts of other 5 conservatives, including Chief Justice John Roberts, joined in the judgment, which was opposed by 3 liberal judges. And now you got, how many? You got like 4? You have 4 women on the Supreme Court now. Anyway, the Supreme Court in a 6-3 decision on Friday overturned Roe v. Wade, the landmark ruling that established the constitutional right to abortion in the U.S. in 1973. The court's controversial but expected rulings give individual states the power to set their own abortion laws without concerning running afoul of Roe, which has permitted abortions during the first two trimesters of pregnancy. All right, almost half the states are expected. I already read that. Let's see. Supporters of abortion rights immediately condemned the ruling. Abortion opponents praised the decision they had long hoped for. Let's see. Alito was joined in that judgment by five other conservative justices on the high court, including Chief Justice John Roberts, a man, whose support for overturning Roe had been long in doubt. The court's three liberal justices filed a dissenting opinion to the ruling, which quickly drew protesters to the Supreme Court building on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. I'm trying to get who all voted here. Let's see. How did they vote? All right, let me see. Roe v. Wade votes. What was the vote? Oh, that's sorry. In January 22, 1973, it was 7-2. What is it in 2022? Let's see. I don't want 1973. All right, well, you guys might know about it more than me. I'm just going by the headlines. Anyway, but it's a trending topic, one of many, or anything you guys want to talk about. This thing goes down to the court. I'm not in the courts of the state. Let's see, this article says, Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, doing away with a half century of precedent. The ruling came in a dispute over a law passed by Mississippi's Republican-controlled legislature to ban abortions after 15 weeks. Let's see. Because I think now, well, was it Mississippi was the state? You know, I have to look that up and probably get Warren Houston on here. All right, anyway, but trending topics, anything you guys want to talk about, 619-768-2945. Yesterday, the topic was Don't Sell Mama's House, but that was dealing with generational wealth. Okay, 773, your mic is open. 773.
Is that me?
Might be muted.
I don't know if that's me or not.
Six. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, your mic is open.
How you doing? It's my Melvin.
I'm doing fine. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
So what have you got for us today, or you got a comment on Roe v. Wade being overturned or any other topic?
You know, I think that's just another one of their ways to take attention off what's really going on out here. So at least they'll get a discussion going about abortion rights, because people can go back to the 14th Amendment saying, I'm in control of my health. Unless now the Supreme Court has more authority than the U.S. Constitution. That's the question people should be asking. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm just saying.
Don't you think that's the one they should be asking? Yeah.
Because
my opinion on the Constitution, generally speaking, now this is just me. I think it needs to be totally revamped. And the reason why I'm saying it is when that Constitution was written and signed off on, they couldn't imagine. I'm sure they tried to. I mean, for instance, none of the people who signed the Constitution, none of them experienced the power of electricity like we do and we take for granted today. None of them had.
Right.
You know, none of them can, you know, flick on the light switch and, the lights are on. None of them had a microwave cooked meal. None of them had an electric stove. None of them had AC that ran, by electric power. And that's just electric. Okay. They didn't experience. Matter of fact, when it comes to municipal water, on July 4, 1776, for all practical purposes, there was no such thing as municipal water, which people take for granted today. Now, when we get into lifestyles, because now lifestyles, you got, well, at least in the United States, almost anything goes. Transgenders, that was totally unheard of back then.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that we see as normal, but we're basing a whole country off of that. I think it should be updated, like when you have with your computer on or whatever, it has updates, every 30 days or whatever it might be. So although the Constitution has amendments, which are, I guess, de facto updates, but anyway, that's my opinion on it.
I don't think they're in no hurry to have a constitutional Congress, because for the last, and I know you've been paying attention to that conversation, they have been trying to get them to do a constitutional Congress to take out that amendment where it says we're only, what is it, 1/5 human beings or something?
No.
And so if they haven't did, huh?
Yeah, I'm listening.
If they haven't had a constitutional Congress for that, but they expect us to vote in every election, what makes you think they're going to do it for the women? Huh?
I have no idea.
I'm just saying.
Once again, we go back to geography. Like I say, 86% of the population of the United States only occupies 5% of the total landmass. And people would be amazed at, because there are different maps of this, would be amazed at the unoccupied, there's a vast amount of unoccupied space in the United States. And then if you take a map, take a look at a map of the Indian reservations around the United States, and some of those Indian reservations are actually larger than some of the some Indian reservations are larger than the state of Rhode Island and possibly Connecticut, definitely Delaware. So you got some huge. I would say they're probably the largest landowners in the United States, Native Americans. They have maps of this online now. I know, like Viara, she comes on here occasionally, and she went up to the Crow Reservation up in Montana, and that's one reservation that has like, I think like 2 million acres of land. That's just one Indian tribe. So, anyway, so now your event, you got an event next month.
July 30th.
So for people tuning in for the first time and they don't know you, explain who you are and this event that's happening in Chicago.
It's called Reclaiming Our Youth Day, and it is a completely Afro-descendant celebration. And it's designed that way to help our children develop an economic base in our community. We have vendors that come that are all Afro-descendant vendors. They set up and they pay the children to be in that day to learn how to be entrepreneurs. There will be some children that will be there that have their own business that have been working with us through the years, and they learned from some of the vendors and went and did their own thing, like jewelry making. Some sell cupcakes and cookies. One young lady, I think she looks to be maybe about 13. She made chocolate fudge candy with pecans in it like my grandma used to make. So when she comes that day, I try to stay close to her table. I know I ain't supposed to be eating it as an old lady, but I can't help it. It is so good. And they pay the children from 7 to 13, $25, and the children from 14 to 20, they give them $50 a day for learning how to be vendors. And the children that have their own business, the money they make is all their money. Because that's our point, is to teach them that you can make money from what you know.
Right.
So.
Now, you've been doing this 10 consecutive years now, right?
This is our 10th year. I started it. I have always been a community activist for the last 40, 50 years. Well, longer than that, because my daughter's going to be 57 this year. So when she be started school, then I got involved in what was going on in the neighborhood because I wanted to make sure she was safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, but three of my four grandsons were murdered in the city of Chicago 12 years ago. I lost all three of them within 27 months.
Mm-hmm.
So after the last one, I decided that I was going to do something to make it better for young people other than what I had been doing. So I don't know if you know Dr. Webb Evans or not, who started.
I've heard of him several times.
Okay, they used to call him Mr. Buy Black. So I had joined his organization already and sitting down talking to him. He was telling me that if you don't do something different, then you have no business complaining about what's going on. So that means that the first thing I did was develop a 23 spice blend so I would have money to do the celebration, because I don't seek donations from anybody. Okay, I don't ask anybody for anything. If you decide you're coming and you want to donate, then you should walk through them children with what you've given them, because we feed the children all day long free. If they want to eat once, that's fine. If they want to eat 10 times, that's fine also. So, and then they are, we have a walk, listen, and then talk scene where the adults walk through the crowd and they talk to the children by introducing themselves, and then they listen. They ask them what, just one question, what would you like to talk about? And then they listen and try to help them come up with positive solutions to whatever the problem is. Or they celebrate whatever the children are happy about, as long as it's something positive. We do a reclaiming ceremony where we put the children in the center, and it's an oath that they take, and someone prays for them. Then they are encircled by the women, who takes an oath, and someone prays for them, and then they are encircled by the men. And the purpose for the encircling is to say that it is never ending, that we will always be here to support and guide you as long as you're doing something positive.
Now, all right, did you make the spices? I mean, people can buy your spices, can't they?
Well, they can do it. Like, they'll be, if those that are coming on the 30th, we'll be able to get them. They can contact me on Facebook. They're not in the store yet. Although I am a certified chef, and it is, and you know, the spices and the company are insured and stuff. So they're trying to get me to do 501c3 status. I'm not all that informed on it. Even though I work with a lot of nonprofits, I never seeked out the background information to what all it takes to become one. Because my thing has always been, you're going to do what you're going to do anyway. So as long as you ain't breaking the law. But now people, I guess, I don't know. I'm just not sure I want to be bound by some of the laws that they try to put on us when we work together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And see, in this way, I don't think they got anything to say about it because I'm not asking them for anything. So they don't have, and we always do it on private property.
Okay. Now, so if a person wants to order these spices, they can just go to your Facebook page?
They can go to my Facebook page. My telephone. You got my telephone number.
Yep, Matt, we got it.
Yeah, did Reba send you the flyer?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure she will by the end of the weekend.
Okay, because my information is on the flyer. And like I say, there's only two requirements, that you are black and you are willing to hire a child for that day. Now, it is our hope that when you make the connection with that child and the family, that you will encourage that child to keep to build a business of their own. Because we have been trying to get there.
Are you originally from Chicago?
I was born and raised right here in Chicago. My mom is from Chamberlain. Her family is from Chamberlain, Louisiana. And my daddy is on Greenwood, Mississippi.
Okay. Now, the reason why I asked that, because there were a lot of people that came up from the South, so for you it goes a generation back. Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama. There's a lot of good black entrepreneurship up in Chicago.
Well,
all right, so you Chicago born and raised.
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, I came from my dad on Sunday morning. My mom would make us go to church, but you know what my dad would be doing? Cooking breakfast for those people who wouldn't have breakfast on Sunday morning. He would be cooking and giving breakfast to the people in the neighborhood who needed it. See, I came up in it. My mother used to work for Illinois Youth Commission. She was a nurse. But on her days off, she worked with Illinois Youth Commission and was able to get the police community room, what was that, Fillmore Police Station on Pulaski and Fillmore. She used to use their community room to give parties for the teenagers on Saturday nights so the parents didn't have to worry about where their children were at. Of course, she had a bunch of children. I'm number 10 out of 12. Okay? So came from. That's, I grew up with elders being involved in the lives of young people. Even now, do you know about Speaking Life?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, see, that's something else that the elders always did when I was coming up on the street that I lived on. They would see the children coming down the street, and they would say to Ma, you look great today, so you must be going to do great things. You're going to learn something new today? You're going to figure out how to set your people free? I can see it in your eyes that that's something you can do. All you got to do is want to. They would speak life into young people, and it didn't matter whether they knew them or not.
Okay. Oh, I found your flyer online. I went on Facebook, and I found the flyer for this year, Reclaim Our Youth Day. I like that title.
Huh?
I like that title. It's a good flyer.
It's based on the scriptures out of what is it, Titus, an old woman shall lead them, and the other one is the prodigal son returning home. If we as elders don't pass on what we know that worked to the generations that follow, then how can we wrap our arms around the prodigal son that's trying to return home?
Now, who are some of the vendors of the past that have participated in Reclaim Our Youth Day?
The Mac Queen, this is a young lady that makes all of these fantastic recipes of mac and cheese. She does other stuff, too, but I'm stressed out on her mac and cheese because I make seven cheese macaroni, so I'd be glad when I find people that can make it as well as me. Okay.
Seven cheese, mac and cheese. Now, I like to try. I would like to try
that. You're going to have to let me know when you come into Chicago so I can make you
will.
Some mac
seven
and cheese.
Seven cheese mac and cheese. That's got to be out of this world.
Okay. You got to let me know when you're coming.
I definitely will.
I make the best black bean. Oh, but see, that's what. Are you vegetarian?
No, man, I eat meat. I don't eat a lot of meat, but yeah, I'll eat a cheeseburger every now and then, and a pepperoni and sausage pizza every now and then.
A black bean meatloaf, and you can't tell it ain't no meat in it.
Now, you know what? There's a place in D.C. called Everlasting Life, and it's a vegetarian restaurant, and they have a cold bar, you know, with, like, one of my favorite, like, I love their kale salad and their seaweed salad. But their hot bar, they've got a no-meat meatloaf. It looks like meatloaf. It tastes like real meat, but it's not meat.
Okay, well, that's what
Why
I do with black beans.
My favorite hamburger in the world. My favorite burger, I'll put it that way. It's a place... It used to be called Houston's, but they changed the to Hillstrom's or something like that. I went to one in Orlando. The first time I had it, I found out one of the ingredients is black beans. But this thing looked like a real beef burger, texture like real, but it's the best burger I had. You know how to do that?
Yes, I'm. My diet now is about 85% fresh vegetables and fruit. So, I mean, I even make
you know,
my tamales.
There's a guy in Chicago, Reba knows him, Pleasant Steffens. He's been on here several times over the years.
Okay.
He's he needs to start eating. Pleasant's like. I think he's 83. But I think if he was eating the type of foods that you're talking about, he can recover like dramatically quicker. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just saying food is medicine. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I didn't have no choice. In 1983, I had cancer.
Hmm.
And my mother was a nurse, and I didn't listen. She said, stop letting him operate. I ended up having 5 surgeries for cancer in 1 year.
Oh, man, that's
And finally,
that's rough.
I listened to my mom. She said, change your diet. So I started adding cumin and turmeric and tarragon and some other spices to my diet. I have not had a reoccurrence of cancer since then. So 83, that makes this, what, about 30 years?
Yeah.
40 years, something. So, no, I haven't had a recurrence.
And you just changed your diet.
I changed
and
my diet.
And I've heard that several times over the years. YouTube's got a bunch of videos, and matter of fact, you know, I was talking to somebody, and he was talking about, you know, pills or whatever, medication, you know, that might help us temporarily, but the real healing comes from proper nutrition, which is what you're talking about.
Yes, what you eat.
Right.
Yeah,
what you
and
eat.
I don't know, I'm not trying to promote anybody's business, but I can tell you, if they know somebody that's doing that total life change and essential oils, they ought to make them their best friend. Because those are all natural things that have been proven to heal the body. And using spices, I had been on diabetic medication. I got in 1975. They diagnosed me with diabetes. In the process of using the seasoning blend from my grandma and working on getting rid of the cancer, guess what? It cured the diabetes I had. And for me to be 73 years old, do you know what my blood pressure is?
Probably that of an athlete, I'm guessing.
120 over 55. And like I say, I'm 73 years old. It's all in what you put in your body.
Yeah.
It's all in what you put in your body. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it for people to jump out. I'd love for them to buy the spices, but my thing is, and even if you're not a computer person, because a lot of the stuff that I found, do you know where I got it from? Having young people help me do the research. They did all of the Googling. I just told them what I wanted to know and what spices I wanted to find out. And they did the research for me. Okay, and actually showed me how to do some things on the computer that I now can do myself.
Reba's got to get you on Clubhouse next. Reba's got to get you on Clubhouse. Reba's got to get you on Clubhouse because you can really extend your network from there. Let me ask you this now. What about desserts?
Because you have
people.
If you talked to her before me, the thing that we talked about yesterday, tell her to see if she can hook her sons with that program that the UNIA got here in Chicago.
Okay. Well, I know I've seen
cool
before nightfall. Yeah.
All kind of rebuilding of stuff in our community. Okay, and I know she knows Clyde Bank.
Oh, yeah, she's got a big network. I don't know all the people she knows, but she knows a lot. Let me ask you this now. There's some people that are diabetics that, you know, can you recommend any type of foods that people can make, particularly with pastries or whatever, cookies or cupcakes, where a diabetic can eat it?
Okay. The first thing you need to do is remove all white from your diet.
I've heard that several times.
No white flour, no white sugar.
Got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you are making cookies, try using applesauce instead of eggs.
Applesauce instead of eggs. Okay.
Yes. And seeing as you blend them, when you blend the applesauce and the brown sugar, you won't even need to add milk to it. You can just add water. Instead of going out spending a bunch of money for all of these different kind of flours, go buy you a box of oatmeal and throw it in your blender and blend it twice till it gets to the consistency of flour. And that's what you use.
Mm.
The only thing that they used to use salt for in the past, don't you know what that was? Baking cakes.
Was it well, to preserve stuff?
To preserve stuff, making cornbread and, you know, baking bread. That's the only time they would use salt is when they used baking powder or baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We need to go back to the old ways. How do
you need
think
to have
that
your
they,
own
I
TV
told,
show.
I told my grandchildren that I was going to live to be 132, and they looked at me real funny saying nobody lives that long. I said, you never know. It all depends on how you take care of your body.
That's true. I had an aunt that passed away about a little bit over three years ago. She lived to be 105. Now, out of my mother's siblings, because my grandmother had seven, there were seven of them, six girls, one boy. And that particular aunt lived to be, she outlived all the siblings. She was the firstborn. She was 13 mm-hmm. years older than my mother, who made it to 92. But she lived to be 105, and the takeaways I get from her life, health-wise, is she didn't take any over-the-counter medication. She didn't take any prescription medication. And she ate, like, little small portions of meals, like off of a mm-hmm. teacup saucer, that size.
Yeah.
Now, she might eat, you know, a few of those during the day. And she would feed you like you're a lineman on the Chicago Bears, but she didn't eat that much. You know, she only, like small portions at a time. And she always kept active. And that got her. As a matter of fact, what took her out at 105, she had choked on a piece of meat. Now, she had recovered at home. But a couple other relatives mm-hmm. took her to the hospital, you know, to have her checked mm-hmm. out. And she contracted pneumonia at the hospital. And it took her out. But, you know, 105
that's what
years.
Happened to my grandma.
And then her mother, yep. my great-grandmother, I don't know if she lived to be, I've heard conflict for some say she lived to be 99, some say she lived to be 102. Now, I remember her because when I was in, like, first and second grade, we used to go out to what they call the country out in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So she lived on an 88-acre spread with, sugarcane and all that. And I just remember mm-hmm. her. She was well into her 90s. No cane, no walker, moving around. Full of energy. And
okay.
I imagine she probably, most of the food that she ate came right from her own farm.
Okay.
I wasn't paying attention at second grade that much, but I'm just, from what I remember. But, getting back to that, you need to have your own cooking show or do YouTube videos or something.
Thank you trying to get me to do classes for grief counseling on YouTube. I don't know if I'm qualified.
You're qualified.
I mean, I know
ain't nobody talking
about
what you're talking about. Particularly
uh-huh.
when it comes to, I mean, you can cover a whole range of subjects, but I'm talking about the cooking because that's something common to everybody. Everybody's got to eat. So, like I said, one person just off the top of my head, Pleasant Stephens, and then even I'm interested in those spices, and then a week before you called in, I did a feature on a lady. I haven't met her yet, or talked to her on the phone. Her name is another black woman, Mignon Francois. she's a mother of seven children, and she was about to lose her house to foreclosure. So her grandmother gave her a recipe for cupcakes, and she took her last $5 and got the ingredients from the store to buy the cupcake material. She had enough to bake a tray, and to make 60 cupcakes. And she sold that 60 cupcakes for $1 each, so she turned the $5 into $60 in one day. And then by the end of the week, she had turned the $60 into $600. Since then, she saved her house from foreclosure, and she started New Orleans, Louisiana, so she got a location there in the same original house that she could have lost. She's got it's called the Cupcake Collection. She's got another location in Nashville, Tennessee, and she's gone from $5 to over $10 million in cupcake sales.
I love it. I love it.
So I'll text you a video later today. But I'm saying all that to say this. The information, the dietary information that you put out, on the spice, matter of fact, you got a customer here on the spices. That's right off the bat. But but you need to do, in my opinion, you need to do videos on what you know, and even conduct cooking classes, offline cooking classes where people can participate in cooking. Because a lot of us, as you already know, we're not eating real food. So if we're not eating real food, that's why people get sick, cancer and all kind of other stuff. I mean, you're a walking testimonial. You had cancer.
Well, this is the reason I tell people. Chemical drugs are designed, if you're taking any medication, within 2 years, you may start with one. But within 2 years, your doctor is going to prescribe a second medication. And within a year of that, it's going to be a third medication. Now, you ask people who have taken, because that's the way chemicals are designed, to make you dependent on the next level.
Right.
And, of course, they're not going to tell you that. Because the pharmaceutical companies, their goal is to be rich. They don't care whether you're well or not.
Right.
If they did, and all drugs are in a 20-year study. Why do you think you keep seeing these lawsuits? Because the 20 years is up. And have you ever noticed when you get a prescription that there's always a list of side effects?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
What might happen, but 8 out of 10 times it is what happens, not might.
Right. I went to a doctor for high blood pressure, maybe not quite 20 years ago, and he gave me some medication that one of those salesmen that. They give them free samples. So I took it with me. So I was on a road trip. So, I read what I read on the side of the bottle. In rare cases, could cause death. I stopped right there. That I just spoke with before I took the trip, she told me about magnesium. Did I take magnesium? And I told her no. So I had gone to a chiropractor for something else because I couldn't move my right arm. Long story short, I bought some chelated magnesium and 4 liters of water. Two or three nights later, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I felt that my arm was normal again. I could move. Stood up and... long story short, the magnesium and then the garlic pills got my blood pressure back to normal.
Yeah.
And with me drinking enough of the enough water because I'm 6'8". So I was only
wow.
I was barely drinking 2 liters of water then. But somebody my height, just on a normal day, needs to drink 4 liters of water a day. So by drinking the right
you're
amount of water, and then I take magnesium practically every day. My blood pressure
you
has been normal ever since.
You should drink
right, yeah, but when I saw that on the bottle,
water.
Could cause death, I didn't take it.
But I'm just saying, you should drink half your body weight in water every day.
Right.
I know they told you that.
Well, the chiropractor told me that, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, half your body weight in water. And the easiest thing and the oldest remedy for blood pressure spikes, you know what it is?
What's that?
Ground mustard seed. Ground mustard seed will bring your blood pressure down to normal within 5 minutes.
Hmm.
But they ain't going to tell you that.
No, because the legalized drug dealers don't want that.
But, yeah, if your blood pressure spikes, just put a little of it on, you know, a little on a teaspoon, put it on the tip of your tongue, count to 10, drink some water, wash it down, and take your blood pressure and see if it ain't normal.
Hmm. Well,
and I know because I'm hard-headed. I like to eat shrimps, and I'm not supposed to. So
you probably got
whenever
a recipe
I have
on that.
You
probably got a recipe on how to make shrimp tasty and healthy at the same time.
But
well, you have
do,
a food allergy then to shellfish or seafood?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, it's good that you're aware. It's
rare.
Good that you're aware of your food allergies because most people are not aware of their food allergies. I mean, for instance, I absolutely love French onion dip, but French
okay.
onion dip doesn't love me, so I haven't touched it in probably a good 20 plus years. I love chocolate-covered peanuts, but give me one and I'll eat the whole box and I'll break out. So, I don't mess
so you
with
like me, you hard-headed too, huh?
Yeah, but I haven't
do it
touched
often.
In a while because I came up with a saying, because I used to eat crazy, like barbecue square ribs at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. I came up with a saying, an affirmation, actually. If I get tempted, and I haven't been tempted in a long time about a lot of these things, is the pleasure is not worth the pain. So I don't have to say that anymore. But there was sometimes that, man, I want to eat this time of day. So I try not to eat after sundown. But if I do eat after
okay.
sundown, it's got to be something natural.
Well,
apple, orange, granola bar.
Yeah, I try not to eat after sundown either.
Right. I mean, I
can
drink
don't give your body time
but...
to digest the food, for one thing.
Right, exactly. And then I don't have any toxic habits like I'm not doing no drugs, no narcotics, no smoking.
No, I don't do none of that.
I lost in my opinion, one of my basketball coaches in high school, he passed away at 74, but he smoked. And when we gave up cigarettes, he took up he took up a pipe. But it's still toxic. So for people that are just tuning in, we have, we're blessed with, matter of fact, when we started the podcast today, I had trending topics. So I've revamped the title for today, The Wisdom of Mama Evelyn, Reclaiming Our Youth, which is an event that she has, she's coming up on her 10th year with it. But, matter of fact, Mama Evelyn, I want to introduce you to, Viata. Now, Viata is, she lives in Florida now, but she's originally from Chicago. And she does a health and wellness program every Friday morning, early morning. And I want to, matter of fact, let me open up her mic, because I texted her. Viola, thanks for calling in, because I know you're busy. Viola, I want to introduce you to Mama Evelyn Johnson. She's out of Chicago. And Viola Robinson, she's in Orlando but originally from Chicago. Both of you two need to connect. Viola, you need to have her on your health and wellness show and your soul purpose healing show, because she's laying down some heavy information. So, Viola, you there?
Good morning, L.A., and Ms. Evelyn, Ms. Johnson.
Good morning.
Hope you're well. How are you doing today?
Matter of fact, let me set it up this way. Mom Evelyn, run back again, share with us, particularly Viola, share with us how you got cancer and then what you did to cure it.
I changed my diet. Started adding cumin and turmeric and tarragon into the food that I was cooking and eating, and until my test, all of them came negative. But before then, I had had 5 surgeries in 1 year. So, and my doctors
and
all told me that I was
How old are you now?
Huh?
How old are you now?
I'm 73, and I have not had a reoccurrence since 1983.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
She makes
her
own spices, too, Viola.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Actually, I make the only 23 spice blend that's made.
That's great.
And every spice in it is good for the body.
Yeah, you know, it just shows. Well, it just shows your respect for your temple. Now you changed your diet, which is a mind change that respects the body temple, because we grow up putting a lot of trash and chemicals in our body, processed food, and dead animals, and when we get a disease, that's sometimes the only thing that changes our choice of what we put in our temple. So that's the start. And then our emotions have to heal to keep it. And obviously you've changed your emotions are now higher frequency, higher level.
Oh, yeah. I love me more. And
yep, love me more. That's, I say fly. First love, that's the first order of healing. First love yourself. Fly.
Mm-hmm.
So glad to meet you. I've been running around. A friend of mine had to go to the emergency room last night because she has a cyst that has grown all the way across her abdomen. So I'm helping her out today with some things around her house. She lives alone, and I think that's part of her problem. Is she's 69 or 70, and she has probably been lonely for a while, you know, living alone. Anyway, that's what he's right. I've been busy this morning going to pick up a prescription for her, and now I'm going to help her and do some juicing for her while I'm here. And I have grandkids' birthdays tomorrow, so I'll be busy, even busier tomorrow.
That is great.
Yeah.
Nothing like grandbabies.
Keeps me young.
Huh?
Keeps me young.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I have 5 living generations.
You have what?
And I have 5 living generations.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Enjoy.
Yeah. Yes,
and hopefully
taking
lessons from you. Hopefully they're taking lessons from you about preventing disease.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's nice to meet you. I've got to run because I've got to go in here and give her prescription. But, yeah, L.A., send me her number.
I just
and,
did.
Okay, great.
Did.
I will
try. Yeah, I just did, yeah.
Johnson,
I'll be praying
that's my...
for your friend. No, actually, I'll be giving praise for her healing.
Yes, thank you. Yes. And Johnson is my mother's maiden name, so I have lots of Johnsons in my family.
All right. We might be related then.
You never know. We are related. All of us have something in common here. We're all humans, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have
all
a
right,
beautiful
Regatta,
day.
Thanks for calling in. I you know what? I forgot that you had a handful already. So thanks for taking time out.
No problem. Take care.
All right. Be blessed.
Thank you. You too.
Sounded like she was multitasking while she was calling in.
Stop saying these right, so, blessings. Start saying the people accept the blessing.
Right, right. Now, with the for vendor space, for people that might be interested in vendor space for your event next month, they can contact you through your Facebook page. That's one source.
Yes.
What you know? What do they need?
They
need to be. Or we already know they need to be black. That's the first requirement. Then is
yes.
And then run through the requirements to set up a vendor space. And what kind of vendors are you looking for? That's the next thing.
They can whatever their business is, as long as it's legal. I mean, I don't want them bringing no edibles or nothing like that around the children because I know there are a lot of those vendors out, but. I don't put a restriction on what they've been. I just want them, my main goal is for them to teach a child. As long as they are willing to do that, they are welcome to come.
And what are the hours of the event?
We start setting up at 8, and it goes from 9 to 5.
Okay, all right. So that's a full day.
And if they are bringing children with them, because I definitely want, if you got a child that's between 7 and 20, I would prefer you trained in your own child than someone else. So if they are they got a child or a grandchild in that age group, they're welcome to bring their own child. Just let me know when they come. I will be bringing a child age such and such with me.
Okay.
So my thing is about uniting our community. It ain't about taking priorities. And no, I don't do stuff to get in the newspaper because I don't trust them either.
Okay, well, it sounds like you can have your own newspaper. at least newsletter.
I don't know if you know Ashby Photography, photographer or not. Usually, she follows me and takes pictures, and she's documenting. And I don't know why, but she's documenting everything that I do.
Now, you probably know her because I met her through Reba. What's her name? Naima Latif, who her business with the Media Connection. She's out here like 7 days a week doing stuff, mostly in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But I met Reba through her.
Okay.
If you're not aware of her, it's a miracle that you two haven't crossed. You two could have crossed paths already. But yeah, she's out here doing things 7 days a week in Chicago. Huh?
Her name is what?
Naima Latif.
Naima.
Yeah, she's got a 7 days a week, really, a podcast titled The Female Solution. She's right there in Chicago.
Okay.
And matter of fact, Viada, she does the Friday edition on that program on health and wellness, but that's on Viada's Blog Talk channel, which is called The Female Solution.
Okay.
And Viada basically features all kinds of people out of Chicago. Some people around the world, but it's heavily Chicago based.
Okay.
So she's out in the community quite often. Yeah, you probably have run across
right now, but I might already know. I'll have to ask Reba.
Right. And Reba's on the go a lot herself at a lot of events. So, and I'm sure Reba will probably cover your event on the 30th.
She's bringing four young people that have their own businesses. That's in, you know, in the group of young people that she works with.
Mm-hmm.
She's bringing four of them, and then she's bringing some other businesses with her that she says that have contacted her about wanting to participate. And I feel I don't have
right.
a problem with it. You know,
okay.
the only requirement I got is that you're willing to teach the babies and that you be black.
Right. Well, she fits those descriptions. So. Yeah, that's a very positive event. Now, do you do any other events year-round, or this is the main one that you do?
This is the main one that I do personally, okay, that I don't be bugging nobody about. But we also do, I'm in with an organization called Sisters in the Struggle. That's a bunch of senior women who do things in the community to make it better. We do a Kwanzaa every year. We do a Juneteenth celebration every year. We do an intergenerational mother celebration where we invite mothers in and celebrate them. We do an all-girls day where we have
mm-hmm.
young girls in to talk about problems they may be having and do some ego building. So there are a bunch of different things that I do all year round. I just enjoy being able to do it.
Hmm. It sounds like you can franchise this idea that you're reclaiming the youth because it's needed.
What I'm trying to do, and that's the reason Reba wanted us to talk, is I am trying to get people in other cities to join with me on the last Saturday of July each year to have a Reclaiming Our Youth Day wherever we have a black community.
All right, well.
That's what us to hook up.
You can sign me up for that. Let me ask you this, because it's in the news so often. What's your take on or possible solutions for the, I guess what some people would call black-on-black, the shootings that happen in the city? Any particular, now you're doing something already with Reclaiming
mm-hmm.
Our Youth, so that I would call that a viable strategy. But any other solutions?
Most people get mad with me when I tell them my truth. I know that it is not all of these young people doing this shooting. I just can't prove it. But I know it's not all of them because of the way the city of Chicago is set up. We have sound cameras on almost every corner in the black community, which takes pictures from the sound that a gun makes. Why aren't they solving any murders if it was us doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most people don't know, even with them sound cameras, it takes, that camera, when it goes off, it sends an automatic text to the dispatcher to send a patrol car there. That car is supposed to be there within 10 minutes. So why aren't they catching any of the shooters? There is nothing anybody can say to me about the city of Chicago. I've been here all my life, 73 years. They have never allowed us to get away with anything. And more than likely, they will blame stuff on us so they allow us to get away with anything. That's all I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
So people get mad at me when I say stuff about it. But does that make sense to you that we would have $10 million worth of cameras in the city of Chicago that are supposed to perform certain services If they're not, why are we steady spending the money every year?
That's true.
So.
And that figure might be higher than $10 million for those cameras.
And I tell you, see, they really got mad with me about this one. Don't get mad with me. But you know what the other thing is that I think about this? I don't know if you've noticed how many black elected officials that we have in Chicago now.
I don't keep up with it. All the person I'm familiar with is your mayor, Lori Lightfoot, and then I saw something last night on a video or early this morning where some lady is allegedly squatting in a house in Chicago and 2, 3, maybe 4 aldermen went to that particular address to see what they can do to mediate that. That's all I know about Chicago politicians.
Okay. Well, our state's attorney, our mayor, the president of the Cook County Board, the chief of police, our attorney general, our assistant governor, and I think this is just another point that they are pulling again to say, okay, we gave them the opportunity to run one of the biggest cities in the country, and they couldn't do it. Look at the violence that perpetrated. So why should we keep supporting them moving upwards?
Yeah, some people look at it that way.
Well, I think that's all part of the plan. That's what a lot of these, why didn't that young man that went up to Kenosha, Wisconsin with the gun and shot those people, and they knew he broke the law, they admitted that, but he didn't go to jail. His mother didn't go to jail for buying the gun. So what is they saying with that one? Was that a black person that was doing that shoot?
Yeah, although he was found, innocent, my question still is who invited him to Wisconsin, which is nobody.
No, but I don't know if you saw
the police. Had I gone up there doing the same thing, you know they would have arrested me.
But you missing the point. Do you know what they was doing? Did you see the films on TV? The police, they saw him walking with the rifle, offering him water and guns. Do you need somewhere to sit down and rest? All of that was on videotape that people were showing, posting it on Facebook and everywhere else of how the police was treating this boy walking down the street with a gun.
He did it. It appeared that he did have carte blanche.
You know.
Yeah, because I saw some of the same pictures you're talking about.
So all I'm saying is how do we know that the shootings being done in our community are not being done on purpose?
Mm.
That this was the intent.
Good point.
Okay, and I know a few years back there was a child over at Low Terrace who told people he saw a white man go on the roof of their building with a gun, and you know what they told that baby?
What's that?
Oh, go sit down somewhere. You don't know what you're talking about. Now, this child don't know a gun when they see it. He said a man had a rifle and was headed toward the roof. And there was some people that got shot that day. This was some years back. But they told the child he didn't know what he was talking about. And this was in the heart of the Inglewood community. And, of course, the shootings that were done that day, they said it was done by gang members. I got news for you. These young people out here calling themselves gang members, well, they call them cliques now. They don't call them gangs. That's doing it now, they out here trying to make money. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those that are really trying to make money ain't trying to go to your area. They trying to make money where they live at. Now, so as long as you're not infringing on their space, they ain't worried about you.
Have you had a chance to watch, there's a couple of TV shows now that are Chicago-based. Mm-hmm. Actually, more than a couple. You got Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, and Chi-Raq. Have you got a chance to watch any of those Chicago-based shows?
Mm-mm. I'm not a big TV watcher.
All right. Well, yeah, you're out in the street.
I'm writing,
what are you doing?
I'm usually right working on one of my books.
Okay.
Like I told you, I got a book that I'm working on. I don't know if you are familiar with the draping and crowning ceremony, which is something that came about after they created Kwanzaa. So I just wrote an instructional book for parents on how to do the draping and crowning ceremony at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for me a good publisher now because I don't want to self-publish this time.
Well, you know, what's interesting, and I texted Viata your information to contact you. Viata's written three books and has had them, I think she's got a publisher. I told her she should really just self-publish and keep the money herself, but she'll be able to direct
me
on that. Yeah, she's written three
books.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first
books.
Three I did self-publish. I did self-publish. I did a life skills book for parents who have to do mandated parenting, even a book, a coloring book for the children to teach them how to share and be friends. And then the fourth book was a friend of mine had a youth organization and she needed to raise money. So I did a cookbook for her that has all my recipes, my original poetry in it, and I had a friend of mine put scriptures in it from the Bible to match, you know, the poetry and stuff. So they're trying to bring those books back because they say now they need them more than ever. And then the book I told you I just finished about how to do the draping and crowning ceremony, and the other book that I'm thinking about cooking with Hakeem Adebuti about somebody has recommended that because he would understand what I was writing about. But I also did a book called Redefining the Role of the African Woman in Reclaiming Our Unity, and it's where women can read and learn how to do outreach in our community where it's effective.
Okay.
So, yeah, I write. Most of the time I spend myself time writing. And I also have did 14 of poetry that I've written.
What about
my stage name is Give Me a Beat. I can make a song off any three words you give me.
Okay. What's your take on homeschooling versus public schools?
I think that we should equip more parents to do it. Because the biggest bulliers now in public school are teachers. Okay? I like I told you, I'm a community listening in. And I have had three different parents contact me to talk to me about their children, about things that has happened in the school. I told them they need to get a lawyer and they need to sue CPS. Okay. Because the bullying, there are even cases here where the teacher has encouraged other children to bully children.
Hmm.
So, no, I'm not a fan of Chicago public schools.
Yeah, we had on here several times Patrick Collins. One of the children of Marva Collins on here several times. And they're getting ready to, they're getting ready to, in Nevada, though, reboot West Side Prep. It'll be a charter school out there in, Nevada. But we've had him on here about five or six times. When she started, you're probably familiar with that, when she started that school up in Chicago.
Well, let me just say this to you. Any school that's serious to a child. Go to school, get a good education, and get a job. It's not working in your best interest. Now, they was telling you, go to school, get a good education, and create a job for your friend. Then they're telling them to build on their future.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
And even in the proposals for the schools here, they don't call them schools. When you look at the state proposals, it says plant.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't a plant a factory?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I just wondered. So why would I be in favor of Chicago Public Schools?
Too political for my taste.
Okay. And then, you know, they took cursive writing out of the Chicago Public Schools. So the children are not even learning how to sign their name.
That used to be called penmanship when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I took it in, what, second, third grade?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But now what kids have, well, everybody's got a phone these days. Well, whatever you don't get in school, I mean, they got after-school programs so you can get it from home. That looks like the way it
does. Well, we used to have churches we could go to and learn certain things. That's not happening in a lot of churches. Now, they may do Bible study, but they're not doing general education to share with young people about the way things should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think in most churches, they don't even have the storytellers anymore. But I know you remember the storyteller.
I remember being told stories when I was young, but, you know, family and relatives, that was about it.
Yep. But none of that stuff that used to happen in our community is happening.
Now, does Chicago still have block parties?
Yeah, they do, for those people that go to them. You know. But the thing that stuff is that they got a young lady here. Her name is Cassidy Tahama.
Uh-huh.
Now, not only, she is truly an old soul, but her people are from the South. You know, her grandmother and all of them are from the South. On the block that she lives on, and she get more problems from her alderman than she do anybody else. She, her father, bought her vacant lots on the block. On those vacant lots, she has put gardens and teaching the children how to grow their own food. You would think her older woman would be happy, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But she seemed to be doing everything she can to disrupt it. So,
what now? Do you ever make it down to Hopkins Park on occasion?
To where?
Hopkins Park in Pembroke, Illinois. About
no, I wish. I've been trying to get somebody to take. I don't drive. I've been trying to get somebody to take me there. I want to just see it. Now, I have sold some of their products. There's this young lady, Tomika Romaine. She's a member of their organization. And she would bring different foods because she grows stuff at her house. She would bring stuff to sell at the markets. So, yeah.
Yeah, last time I visited Chicago, I went to, I just flew in for the day, but me, Reba, and Pleasant Stephens, we did, it was a short road trip, you know, 45 minutes an hour. To Pembroke and Hopkins Park, it's farmland for as far as I can see, and I ain't seen any white folks down there when I was there, but I'm sure there's some there. But basically, black, I mean, people that own 30 acres of land, 75 acres of land, but Reba will get you there because, like I said, she was doing the driving the day I was up there.
Pleasant Stem supplied the Jaguar, and Reba did the driving, and we went. We spent about 2-3 hours down that way.
Okay. I bet you that was fantastic.
And Hopkins Park, well, you already know, is a historic black township, so I was just fascinated with that alone. But Chicago itself, as you well know, all the exceptional people that have come out here, Don Cornelius, George Johnson, his wife Joan, from Johnson Products, then the Ebony and Jet man, his wife Eunice Johnson, Dempsey, what's his name? I get his name confused. Dempsey Travis or Travis Dempsey?
Dempsey Travis.
Real estate tycoon in Chicago when he was living.
Yeah, Dempsey Travis.
Right. Yes. And so many more, so many others that have people like yourself. It's like I would call, if I had to pick a city, now St. Louis has got some sharp people too. But I would have to pick Chicago number one and St. Louis number two. As far as you want to have a what I would call meccas for black entrepreneurship. More so than Atlanta. I don't think, in the D.C. area too, I don't think no other two cities can compete with, from my observation, just my observation.
Now,
I don't know
what
all,
Atlanta
but
Atlanta was the spot.
Yeah,
they
well,
that was
now,
the
once
spot.
Again, it Atlanta had that Atlanta mafia with, you know, during the Civil Rights era. But I'm when it comes to, and I'm talking about strictly entrepreneurship, If I had to pick two cities from back in the 60s and even right now today, I would pick Chicago and St. Louis. And that's me now. Other people might have their own opinion, but I'm just going by from my observations. Most of which, a lot of those entrepreneurs really don't get that much recognition. But
I know. But my hardest problem, guess what? It's really my people. It is not. If I take my season and I go to the north side, as soon as them white folks see the ingredients and the spices, they be trying to buy all I got.
Okay.
You know, but that don't happen in the black community. It's and I always
well, what did
he
say?
A
prophet isn't honored in his own country. Well, you got some, you're around for a reason. Let's take another caller here. 314 area code. Your mic is open.
Hello, LA.
Good morning, Mr. Pianchi.
I was kind of wondering why you said that. Yeah, people said that what Kyle Rittenhouse done was illegal. He didn't do anything illegal.
Well, according to the jury, all I'm saying, or according to the jury, you're correct. According to the jury verdict, but my question is, put it this way. Because me and Kyle Rittenhouse are two different people. I know myself, even if I wanted to, and I don't want to, I know I would be it'll be a big risk for me, knowing the United States the way it is, which, let's be real about it, people, they paint stuff on you just on skin. I know I wouldn't go into a heated area armed, whether I do it legally or not. The reason why I wouldn't do it is because I don't want no accidents of that nature to happen to me.
But I would. Constitution guarantees.
Now, one thing we agree on, Pianchi, not all black people are alike. So you would do it. I would.
Well, it's not that we not a lot, but the way people say things, they say like the man, what the young man done was wrong, was illegal. He didn't do anything illegal. His mama didn't do anything illegal. That's some ghetto legend talk that's out there.
Well,
didn't do
hold,
a thing.
Let's spin it this way. Let's look at this. Because all we can look at is optically on this phone call. All right. Now, and you know your rights and all that other stuff, and you're a gun owner and all that. Now, the reason why I wouldn't do it, now this is just me, L.A., is because let's take another high-profile case. What was his name? The case in Georgia, Ahmaud Arbery. Here's a guy, unarmed, jogging through a neighborhood, and look what happened to him. So that's unarmed. So that, for me, I'm just speaking for L.A., that's why L.A. would not do that.
Did you go to Chicago?
Well, last time I went to Chicago, it was all peaceful.
Well,
but,
how
once
long
again,
ago
now,
was that? Back in the 50s?
I wouldn't go into any area. I wouldn't go into any area that I didn't know how to navigate. Let me put it that way. That's just me. But the last time I was in Chicago, which was 3 years ago, from Midway to Pleasant Stephens neighborhood, where I hung out for a few hours, to the drive back to the airport, I can't say nothing bad about Chicago boots
that
on
was,
the ground.
That was 2021.
But now, mind you, that's not all of Chicago.
That was 2021. That was the year 4,875 blacks shot other blacks with about 795 murdered. This past year is 4,666 with 619 murdered. So you was lucky.
Well, now, Pianchi, all right, well, I'm not going to dispute that. But you also got to look, most murders typically happen between people that know each other. I don't think
well,
most
damn,
of those killers
in
that you talk about
you got close to 9,000. In the 2 years, you got close to 9,000 murders. There's a lot of people that knew each other. So that means there had been 18,000 people in total. My grandson just texted me and said that the Supreme Court overthrew its 1972 Roe v.
Wade.
That was a good thing. First place, they had no business making it in the beginning. The Supreme Court has no authority to make laws. That should have been left up to the states. Period. Nor does it have the ability, nor should it be authorizing same-sex marriage, nor should it be authorizing interracial marriage. That's left up to the state.
The state. All right, you bring up an interesting point. The Supreme Court does not make law. They're not legislators. You're absolutely right.
They're not supposed to have opinions on the Constitution. You only have opinions on laws. The Constitution is absolute. The Second Amendment is absolute. Concealed carry is against the Constitution. That's an infringement. He's supposed to wear it just like Kyle Rittenhouse was wearing it.
Well, he's going to remain a controversial figure, although he wasn't convicted.
He's suing Whoopi Goldberg and a whole bunch of other people. He's suing her for $25 million. I hope he gets every last dime of it.
Is Biden going to be suing him too? Is Biden chimed in on it?
If that's what his lawyer figured that they should do, yes. It's plagiarization.
Whoopi Goldberg's an easier target for him. He's supposed to be going to college this fall.
Nothing against the law about going to college, and I think going to college is a good thing.
So it is. But anyway, we'll see
look
how
at those 15,000 look at the 15,000 black STEM graduates that attended the National Society of Black Engineers annual convention. They on the YouTube. They all college grads, and they're getting hired. At that convention, you had Lockheed Martin hire 400 black STEM graduates off the convention floor.
Now, Bianchi, for those who really probably might need a, you know, STEM, what are some of the degrees and professions that people can go into if they decide to get a
STEM degree? The one that's in high demand, STEM field, is mathematics, engineer, the technology and the science degrees, biological science, naval, oceanography, all sorts of things.
Electrical engineering.
And also defense. In the 2 years before that, Northrop Grumman hired 2 years in a row. That would have been 2018 and 2017, over 400 black STEM graduates, two rules in a row. So that would have been 800 total or more.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine coming out of school. He was hired by Hughes Aircraft as a junior out of George Washington University in D.C. But Hughes Aircraft hired him a year in advance of him graduating.
Nesby's has a list, well, they published in their magazine, their top 50 preferred employers. Of course, at the top, you got the tech giants, Google and Amazon. You come on down the list, you got people like Caterpillar. You got Ford Motor Company, Boeing Aircraft, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin. You got NASA. You got the FBI, the CIA, and the Department of Justice. Those are preferred employers that those black STEM graduates say, these are who we have, due to our experience, considered some of the best.
Now, within the STEM, would that include forensics, you know, with the police department and as well as federal agencies?
They got all sorts
forensics
of things.
You know,
they got
basically science.
Technology today. Those idiots that was out there riding and burning and looting with masks on, they had drones that was stationary up about 30, 40, 60,000 feet, could look through those masks and see who they are. They could tell, they could get an image of your DNA, wherever you've been. In the last period of time, you leave a DNA fingerprint.
Mm.
You went to the store, or if you went to use the, if you sat on a bench, if you was in a fast food restaurant, your DNA Aurora is left a fingerprint there that can be read and detected.
Well, you can't get away with, it's harder to get away with crimes these days, that's for sure.
The same technology they use to determine who it was that shot that 8-year-old girl there in, at the fast food drive-thru, I think that was in Atlanta, I'm not sure. That was the same technology that they used, that you had people going around stuffing illegal ballots in those drop boxes. In Detroit, for one, and other cities. So some things is a test. China used AI as a, for identification, have been and has perfected it, going on for a long time.
Okay.
I think that's a good thing.
Well, STEM.
We had another. Well, yeah, children should go to. Be going to college for those who can do it. Now, another thing, too, that came out of the Supreme Court was they overruled New York's gun law with this ridiculousness. You can have a gun in a house, but you can't bring it outside. And some of those stipulations that we, that people have been privileged to see some of these liberal cities and these liberal governments try to enact. You know damn well that stuff is unconstitutional. And states should say that. States should say that we are not going to comply. It's unconstitutional. You're right to do that. That should be more of a discussion. You letting know people know what their rights are. People had rights before there was government. So when governments come along, they try to take those liberties and rights away because you let them do it, especially
well,
the federal government.
Yeah, as Warren Houston says, and I haven't heard from him in a while, although I see his news feeds on Facebook, says if you don't have any – no, not you don't have. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any. And I have, matter of fact,
federal government has just have run completely amok. They're not doing, the states are letting them do these things. Federal government don't have no responsibility to own land. That land belongs to the states. If they want to explore and extract natural resources, that's the state's ability to do that. Should not be dictated by the federal government.
Yeah.
Federal government has no control over your schools. That's state and local control over the school. Ultimately, the parents. People let those things
now,
go on.
Now, what about these federal, you know, these national parks? Isn't that federally controlled?
That's state land, too. Where are they located at?
Well, they got state parks. Like, take D.C., the National Park Service controls that, Rock Creek Park, and then you got what? Who controls Yellowstone Park?
Yellowstone Park is supposed to be a federal park, but it's still within the state. State can take that land back whenever they got ready to or upon agreement. You know, some states let the federal government do things so they don't have to pay for it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad thing to do. If you're going to do anything, lease it to the federal government.
Okay, well, I don't know what kind of arrangement they got. So.
Only thing mentioned in the Constitution. See, here's the thing. Everything goes back to that document. That is uno number one. It never can be turned off. It has no on-off switch. It goes right back to that document. If a court is hearing an argument, the court's responsibility, generally, is their opinion should be whether or not the law is unconstitutional, not whether the Constitution is unconstitutional. It says whether the law is unconstitutional. That's simple. Just read it. Second Amendment say you shall not infringe. You've
well,
seen this stuff
on
going on being COVID.
Hold on, Pionk. We got Warren Houston's done us a big favor. Haven't heard him from in a while. Warren Houston, good morning.
Good morning, my brother, good morning. L.A.
Good morning.
Hello.
And people ignore the time. We're going in overtime anyway. We're on here with Mama Evelyn also. She's in Chicago. But, Warren, I asked you to call in because I wanted to what one of your catchphrases is, if you don't know your rights, you don't have any. So, Warren, who's a law school grad, could you go over the importance of knowing at least the basics of the law?
Well, it's very important to know it because the governmental system is set up to protect the governmental system, not you. And so one of the things that was done to protect the people at the founding of this country was put the Constitution in place. The Constitution was put in place to protect the people. They had already experienced what it's like to let governments have control. So when you start talking about the Constitution and the first 10 amendments, then you're talking about the rights of the people that were placed. And so if you don't know these rights, well, then nobody's going to tell them to you or for you. And so that's one of the reasons why. I mean, it's just like when you get arrested, the first thing they tell you, anything that you say, you have a right to remain silent. Anything that you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. And the reason why they tell you that is because they're going to construe whatever you say against you. And you could be trying to help your situation, but if you don't know what you're talking about, you don't understand legalities and how speech works in the legal world, you can try to twist yourself and get messed up because you thinking in the concept of a moral standpoint, and we're not dealing with morality, we're dealing with legality. We're dealing with a cause of action. We're dealing with elements. And see, most people don't realize this, because if they did, they would even know how to handle the situation, whether it's a criminal situation or a civil situation. Every criminal or civil act has what's known as a cause of action. And based on that cause of action, there are a certain amount of elements attached to that cause of action, again, be it criminal or civil. And a person, let's say a murder has, you know, I'm just saying off the top of my head because I'm not really looking. Let's say murder has six elements that must be proven. Well, in order to convict that person, you can't prove five and not prove six. All elements must be proven. So this is one of the importance of knowing the law. And then, again, if you speak of the Constitution, what I did hear Bianca say when I came in about the Constitution and, you know, people are trying to infringe on that right, is that it is the law and it is for the protection of the people. And, again, if you don't know it, then if governments can get in there and change it because the people are illiterate, they will. The Constitution was written in such a way that it could never be changed. And even to change it itself, it takes a certain amount of vote by the House and the Senate, which is almost impossible to get. So it is a document written in stone pretty much forever, so to say.
Well, let me ask you this, Warren. Okay. Now, just like we all got electronics on this, listen to this podcast. So, you know, T-Mobile, Sprint, whoever, they send updates to keep our, you know, our communications going to our computers and all that. Shouldn't there be updates? Of, like, say, and they do have amendments to the Constitution, but the guys who signed that on July 4th, 1776, none of them had running water, electricity, stuff that we take for granted. So,
right.
I'm just saying. You know, it's something I'm missing, I guess. I don't know, but your take on that.
I get what you're saying, and I know where you're coming from, and I have to somewhat agree with what you're saying. But I, personally, you have two types of people when you're dealing with the Constitution. You have those who say that it is a living document, which means that they take liberty at will to change the Constitution. And you have those who say that the document meant what it said when they wrote it at the founding of this country. Now,
right.
I'm with the group that says the document meant what it wrote at the time. At the time of this country. The reason why I say that, it's like reading the document, but yet applying it in the modern times. It's like you read the Bible. You read the Bible, well, I can apply the Bible to modern times. I wasn't around 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago when it was written. So, of course, I can't apply it to that time, but I can apply it to me today, as opposed to those who say it's a living document.
All right.
They take liberty to take it at that point and change
you got
it
me
for
on
themselves.
That. Yeah, you're right. You got me on that one. Yeah. You're right.
But I agree with you. Everything changes. Everything evolves. But the best and my best approach is to use it as it was written, as it was written when it was, but we apply it to our needs today as opposed to saying it's a living document. Because of those that are saying it's a living document, they take at will to change it to make it mean what they want it to mean. So that's where the problem lies with that.
Any comment on Roe v. Wade? You know that's been reversed. That just came out today, though, this morning.
Roe versus Wade, this is the abortion situation, correct?
Yeah. Which now goes back to the state. And Pianchi brought up a very good point a few minutes ago. The Supreme Court or any court is not, they're not legislators. So that's a very good point Pianchi did bring up. They're not legislators.
Right. My standpoint comes from a standpoint of morality. I am happy to see that law reversed for several reasons. Reason number one, you are irresponsible. You know, anybody that lays down and have sex, you know what the consequences are. The consequences that you have sexual intercourse with a person of the opposite sex, then you take on the responsibility of possibly getting pregnant.
Right.
So to do that and to create a life and then just turn around and say, well, I don't want it. And to kill it, I think, is really insane. And some of the cruel ways that they even let these babies go full term, and I've even seen where they stick these scissors in the back of their brains and kill them. I mean, those children are feeling that. And so to allow something like that to me is very inhumane. I think there should be exceptions to the rule. You know, if a person is raped or for some reason raped, incest or something like that, there should be exceptions to that. But just to outright say, you know, I don't want it, then a father who produces the seed, well, it's her body and he has no say. That's his seed, even though it's her body. It's his seed. He should have some say in it as well. That's something that does not happen. So I've never agreed with any of that.
Well,
NAR is
reversed and now it's on the state.
NAR is for NAR.
Hold on. Mom Evelyn, you got a comment?
I said when they did Roe versus Wade, it was about rape and molestation. People just, what's the word? Changed it to use it for their own personal purposes. But that's what it was originally done. It was about women who had been raped and molested.
Yeah.
That got pregnant.
That's the exception I should see that it should be used for. Just because a person, you know, had casual sex and then decided, oh, well, I don't want a baby. Well, you know what the consequences was before you did it. And if you can't accept the responsibility or the accountability of your actions, then maybe you need to see if there's a father or a family member or something. You don't know. I've never agreed with that.
Okay.
Because I don't know about other places, but in the state of Illinois, before Roe versus Wade, you had to get your husband or your father's permission in the state of Illinois to get your tubes tied.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should if you're a child.
Yeah.
If you're 12 years old, you can get an abortion without telling your parents.
Yeah, now you can.
Well, no more you can. Mom
Evelyn, you were saying that at one time in Illinois, the husband or the father of the woman had to get permission?
You had to get permission from your husband. Depending upon your age, you had to get permission from your father.
Well, I ain't never heard of that. I don't know. That's Illinois.
Hmm.
If that's what the people in that state,
that were really upset about that one and were glad to see Roe versus Wade. I just don't think it was written right. You know, I'm with him. I think that there should have been certain stipulations with it.
If people in that state had that like that, that was the state of Illinois. If people in Iowa, New Mexico, Missouri, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, if they want that or don't want, that's their business.
That's what it's going to go now because it's going to go on states now.
It should go on the states. States are separate countries. They are sovereign.
You know,
they have their own constitution.
Well, you know, they don't like us over here in Texas because, you know, abortion is something that Abbott pretty much don't like, you know. And so it's been an issue with abortion over here. The laws are changing toward abortion here in Texas.
Yeah, don't move from... California to Texas and try to change things like where you rent. You know, that's another thing too. The people that's been running that state got that state so damn good that you want to move there. But as soon as you move there, you want to change things like where you just came from.
Yeah.
Mm.
And see, that's what we're scared of right here in Texas right now. Just look at it like this. California and New York has been pretty much ran in the ground. So Texas, for the longest, has been the best-kept secret in the United States. Everybody's coming to Texas now. But if you bring that mentality that made California like it is, made New York like it is, you bring it, it won't be long. You give Texas another 20, 30 years, and we'll be just as messed up as California and New York.
I don't think it's going to happen, Warren.
Well, I hope it don't, because they're trying hard. They're trying hard.
But
going into other states,
wanting to
take down their statues, leave them people's statues alone. Those statues are of U.S. soldiers that fought in many wars.
Yeah.
Warren, now, you know, when it comes to Texas, I look at Texas as, I went to school up in the panhandle of Texas, up in Canyon, Texas, 17 miles south of Amarillo. Flat, you can see forever, dust storms, straight-up cowboy country. Whereas Dallas and Houston are completely different from
right.
the panhandle, West Texas out there by, El Paso. It's distinct. For the Dallas, y'all only went to San Antonio once, but it's distinct from, you won't see anything like Houston anywhere else in the United States or even Dallas-Fort Worth area. But
right.
I think it all depends on what part of Texas people move to, because when I went to Texas in the Panhandle, man, it took me about a solid year to adjust. I had to go. I was experiencing culture shock. people dipping snuff, cowboy boots, skull, and camp fries, and all this other stuff.
That's Texas.
Yeah. But, however, in Houston, it's so international. You got all 95 countries represented in that one city alone. So, are more Californians moving to Texas or what? Not Texas, but
between the big three,
are they moving more to Houston, San Antonio, Austin, or the Dallas Metroplex?
They move in California to New Yorkers are moving more to Houston. And that's scary overall, because if you do your history of Texas actually from the beginning, as it started out, was a Democratic state. We had one in the history of Texas. I think the first Republican mayor we had was back in the 60s. I can't think of the brother's name right off. And then it flipped back Democratic, and it stayed that way till the Bushes came in. And ever since the Bushes area, ever since George Bush became the Republican governor of Texas, Texas flipped to a Republican state. And we have enjoyed wealth in this state ever since. And so now it's threatened to flip back to a Democratic state again. And that's the fear of us that live here, who see how good we have it. We know what happened up under Democratic policies, and we don't want that.
Well, Texas has got over 200 counties. And those 200 counties are Republican.
The majority of them, yeah. But you got a lot of Democrats. When you're talking about California, New York, you have a lot of Democrats moving here. And then a prime example, to give you the example, like in Dallas, Dallas inner city is basically Republican. Houston inner city, on the other hand, is Democratic. Okay?
And so Houston is nothing more than a big social experiment. And you got some very elite black communities in Texas that don't want all that socialism and that liberal mess neither. See, that's things that they don't report. Black folks don't want to be
black folks don't want all that old liberal crap talking all this stuff about get rid of the police. I know some black communities that they want tough policing, police that's going to kick butt.
It's
Ferguson had 53 police officers, and 52 of them were white. That's what that community wanted.
All right. Yep. Well, speaking of police in Texas, one of the trending topics of the day is, Warren, what's your take on, and I want to go around the panel here. First, though, is Warren, what's your take on what happened with Uvalde? Because the police in that town are on the hot seat right now.
Well, I'm being honest with you on that, L.A. I really didn't get a chance. I just lost my father, who was killed
by a 19-year-old girl. I've been following you on that.
And so, I didn't really get a chance to delve into Uvalde and what was going on with it. I just heard it in bits and pieces because I had so much going on with that. And I still haven't really looked into it. So I can't really give an answer. I can listen to you all.
Because he just passed about, 2 weeks ago, something like that?
May 14th.
All right. Well, that's about a month ago. Yeah, my condolences, because I was following your feed on that.
So that kind of took my attention away from everything else at the moment. I did hear bits and pieces about Uvalde, but I haven't really just paid attention to exactly what happened.
Mama, Ellen, so any comments on that? What happened to Uvalde?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Some gunman, I don't know, 18 years old, whatever. He shot his grandmother in the face. I don't know if she survived that. Then he went to an elementary school and killed a number of elementary school students. And the police, they later on shot him to death. But the controversy is that law enforcement in Uvalde, and Uvalde is a town of about 15,000 people. They didn't respond to the whole incident. And
that's where they were talking about
it
took the police a couple of hours to go in to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one?
They eventually shot and killed him, but there's controversy that the police force in Uvalde waited too long. Now, what I know about, because I went to school in Canyon, Texas. Canyon is about the size of Uvalde, 13, I doubt if Canyon has 14,000 people. Canyon, Texas, when I was going to school there, I don't know if it's like that now, was the kind of place, and I would say there are a lot of places in Texas like this. Small town Texas, not big town Texas, where you can leave your car keys in your car, in ignition, the door open, all windows down, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, and your car's still there. There's a lot of towns in, well, when I was going to school there, that's been a while. But,
and
so what happened in Uvalde, they just weren't provided. In my opinion, they're on a different wavelength.
Yeah, I would say just based off of what I'm hearing and thinking about Uvalde, they probably never even dealt with a situation. It might be the first time they've ever even dealt with it.
Yeah, it's the first time they ever dealt with it.
So, they fumble the ball because they're not, give you a prime example here in Houston. Houston has the largest medical center in the United States, if not possibly the world. We have the medical center where people come from all over the world to work here. But anybody will tell you, if you are in a traumatic situation where you're shot or something like that, the best places is not all these million-dollar buildings. The best places is the county hospital here in Houston, which is LBJ or Bentall. You know why? These people deal with that type of stuff all day, every day. So if you shot or something, you want to go to the county hospital. You don't want to go to the expensive hospital where you have to have the best insurance. People don't deal with that all the time. You want to go to LBJ or Bentall. You stand a better chance of living. Right. Well, here's the point, Ellie. The responsibility of the police department, the responsibility of the operation of that police department is on whose concern?
The people of that community.
The people of that community. That's who that police department ultimately answered to, not the federal government, the people of that community. And I tell you what, in Texas, you got about 170, 75 school districts that allow teachers to be armed. Well, maybe they should have been doing that also. Them teachers should be armed. Here's another thing. More people in the United States need to wear that gun on their hip.
Yep.
Wear that gun on your hip, and that way it will become a societal norm from seeing people wear a gun. That's where all the problem comes. You got all these people that's hollering and scared and trying to infringe on people's rights.
Well,
wear your gun on your hip.
T-Hockey, all right. Now, let's take what you just said, and I'm glad Warren is on this call. Okay. Warren, you and I both have been substitute teachers. I got out of the business back in the 80s because I knew I wasn't going to last. Okay. But you've been in there more recently. So now, how, because you know some of these kids are crazy.
Oh, yeah, bro. No
doubt. So do you think being armed in the classroom would be a help?
Yes. You know, okay. We both big men. I'm 6'6", 330 pounds, so I'm a big man.
Uh-huh.
Now, I couldn't let the kids know that, but I've been in some classes, man, where I had to sit with my back against the wall because, you know, these kids today, you know, especially there's no family structure, there's no home training. You got kids who don't have a father. So discipline, you know, talking about discipline, and then there's no consequences for their actions. They don't have any at home when they come to school. And if you send them to the principal's office, they just turn around and send them back to the class. So if they don't have any consequences, they don't.
And you know what?
That
happened in Michigan earlier this year. They called the parents in for whatever reason. They had a conference. The parents left. They allowed the child to stay in school. Nobody checked his backpack. And then later on, he killed about 5, 6, 7 people.
Yeah.
Including the teacher.
But having teachers armed is not by using weapons on students. It's in case somebody comes from the outside into the school or on school property and start doing mayhem. That's what that's about.
Well, I agree.
Well,
if a student would get out of line, I'm gonna pop his behind too.
A good example of that is if we go back to Columbine, okay. The teachers needed to be armed that day. That whole thing wouldn't have happened had they known. Oh, wait a minute. The teachers are packing. But Mama. All right, hold it. Mama Evelyn, your take on it.
Yes.
You're a parent and grandparent. What's your take on it? And you're in Chicago.
I don't think the teachers in Chicago, some of the teachers are just as bad as the children. So,
well, that's not the whole point.
I think you would
be taking
a chance. And I'm going to cuss on this. What would you say if somebody showed you a tape that a teacher said to your 10-year-old child, "Little bitch, I will whoop you and your mama's ass"?
I wouldn't be
well,
happy.
That teacher, well,
and you know
why
what?
Do the parents let that teacher, why do the parents leave that teacher teaching it?
Let me tell you. That case has been reported to the FBI because of the stuff that was involved. They didn't get involved. The state police, the attorney general, all of these people know about this video and this teacher, and not one agency in this state has done anything to rectify the situation.
Well, my question would be, why did that teacher tell a student that?
Huh? Because the little girl went home and told her mother that this teacher's son was molesting her. And when she told, he grabbed her around the neck, choked her, and throwed her down.
Okay.
And the teacher wanted the little girl in her room. Huh?
Where's the little girl's father?
They told that he's not even allowed on school premises because he was upset about what was
now,
said to
okay,
his
hold it right there. Hold it right there. That's another reason why come there needs to be school choice and the money follow the child. Because parents should start taking their children out of that particular environment because everything that you just described says that it's dysfunctional, on the verge of being a ratchet school. Take your kids out of that place.
There are even people who say the school is involved in trafficking, but nobody wants to investigate that school.
Oh, the school or some of the students in the school?
Some of the teachers in the school.
This is what people are not understanding about schools, and you're seeing so many public schools shut down. United States in its inception was just like some of these African countries or other countries. There was no public free schooling. If you did not pay for school, you did not get an education. That's the way it is in some African countries right now today. United States
You're
was
right.
pretty much the same way. Public schools became as was a result of slavery ending and giving slaves an opportunity to learn, pretty much to be better slaves in my opinion. So there's nothing in the Constitution that says that the government owes your child an education. It is not the government's responsibility to educate your child. It is the responsibility of the parents to educate their children. So if we go back to homeschooling, because another thing, too, when you look at public schools, people are taking advantage of public schooling. If you don't, I'm a believer, if you don't put something in something, you're not gonna pretty much treat it right. You're not going to treat it properly. Because with public school, all you got to pretty much do, which is really a good deal if you use it for your benefit, is just show up and do what you're told to do. You don't have to pay any money. Everything is supplied for you. But because no money is paid, then it's taken advantage of. It's walked all over. The teachers have to be put in place for the students, which I think is stupid because if I have my degree, I have the papers I need to succeed in life, and I'm trying to assist you and help you get where you need to, where you're able to be successful in life, then why should I have to bow under your pressure? No. They took prayer out of schools. They took discipline out of schools. Now the schools now is just nothing but a big old clown show.
Well, people.
I can't argue that point.
It's
however,
and we way over and over what Blog Talk shuts us down on.
If I had been a mother, I'd have been in jail now because I would have did what was necessary for my child, and I wouldn't care who didn't like it.
Well,
I mean, in that situation, what you're speaking about, I agree with you on that situation. That's why I asked why, because some of these students actually need to be talked to like that if they have a behavioral problem. But from what you're telling me, that was completely outright wrong. But what I am looking at is the overall picture of what's going on that is affecting the masses, not just one or two people.
And Warren, we're going to let you have the last word of the day on that. Thank you, Pianki. Thank you, Warren, because you called in on the fly. I asked you at the last minute. Thank you, Mama D. And remember now, Mama D.
Can I ask him one question?
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Mr. Warren.
Yes, ma'am.
How can the police take you to jail after they tell you, you have the right to remain silent, and if you decide not to make a statement, they say they're taking you to jail because you didn't make one.
Okay, well, that doesn't exist.
So, but when you
exactly
go to court, when you go to court, they refuse to give up because, see, now the law in Illinois is all police must wear their cameras. They are refusing
okay.
to produce the cameras of the arrest.
The people of the community, and so this is one reason why black folks are most in black communities around the country is not successful is because we don't know how to bind together and work together. As Pianki said earlier, the police are to serve the community. Once the people know what the laws are the laws that need to be changed. Once the people in the community bind together, you can actually force them to change or whatever that needs to be changed in that community. Done. You have to know about how to go about doing that. That's why you have three branches of the law. You have executive, legislature, and judicial. And so when you understand that, you understand that the executive branch enforces the law. The judicial branch judges the law. And it is the legislature branch that makes the law. The judicial interprets it. So you, when you're talking about interpretation of that law, who are you voting in as your judges? Who are you voting in? When you're talking about legislature, who are you voting in to write this stuff? You know, these are things that we have to look at, but we as a community, we're not at home. We're not looking at it. We're not participating. We have so many people that don't want to be part of the United States, especially in our communities. And, you know, if you want to get off into your African culture, and you're fine, that's not a problem. I don't knock that. But what I do knock is that you still live in the United States. You still live in whatever state you live in, whatever county you live in, or whatever city, you're still part of that community. And if you refuse to take any part of it, and then when something happens you don't like, you want to start grabbing our signs and marching and talking, and go, then you're getting what you get because you're not actively involved in the first place.
Well, I'm very actively involved, but some of this stuff I don't get. You know.
Evelyn, Warren has a People's Law Study Group that he runs. And a matter of fact, okay. Warren, this last thing, because before we get booted out here by Blog Talk, Brittany Griner, I guess she's getting back what you're talking about. Brittany Griner, I'm going to say allegedly badmouthed the United States, but now she's in Russia. And she needs the United States.
Yeah, right. I know. She's locked up over in Russia right now.
Yeah, she's locked up in Russia, and they've extended her stay over there three times so far.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And we have to realize.
Her words came back to bite her.
We have to realize things have not been peaches and cream in this country, especially for black folks. But at the end of the day, you are still part of this country. You have people who died, who gave their lives to make things better for black folks. And so in the sense that they've done that, and we take it in, and, you know, some of these people that back in the 60s from the Civil Rights Movement, if they saw the condition of black folks today, they probably would turn over in their graves, you know, because they actually gave their life. They knew what chance they were taking to make things better for us in the conditions that we're in, and we went from bad to worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Warren, you got the last word of the day. Thank you for calling in, and thank you, Mama Evelyn, for calling in from Chicago. We done kept you over two and a half hours a day. So, people...
Well, I didn't have enough room today.
Okay. Well, go to Reclaiming Our Wealth, or Mama Evelyn Johnson on Facebook. Her event for next month is Reclaiming Our Youth. And you want to participate in that one. Everyone have a good rest of the day and great weekend.
All right, y'all. Peace out.